You got to do the $5 fan.
Yeah, thing. I just remembered. I just remembered. It's been a really long time.
It's been forever.
All right. I don't even know if I still have the voice.
You're good.
Okay.
we're keeping all of this in.
Okay. I need to do like vocal warm-ups.
All of this stays.
A very special thanks to our $5 fans, James Newton, Jared May, Samantha Soma, Stephen Fox, Lucius Kwok, Jenny Genovento, Brian Walsh, Jordan Cooper, Stephen Morris, and Colin Rainey.
Holy shit, I noticed some new names in there.
I did too. I may have just read them wrong.
That's great, though.
I mean, $5 fans must have read them wrong. Yeah, it's good, especially since we haven't even recorded in a month.
Well, we've been on, we took our European vacation.
Yeah, we had a little podcast sabbatical.
I actually went to Europe.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, well, I saw a bunch of pictures. Of course you went to Europe. You went everywhere. You went to Disneyland. You went to Copenhagen? Is that where you were?
I went to Disneyland, which is not in Europe.
It's in LA. That. I was just talking about how you've been like all over the place.
And then I went to Copenhagen.
Okay.
I am absolutely broke now.
Like spiritually or financially?
No, financially. Have you ever been to Copenhagen?
No.
Oh my God.
What? What
well,
did you spend
off,
your money on? Like hookers and blow?
No.
Like, well, I don't know what's in Copenhagen.
They have everything that we have, and mm-hmm. It's three times as expensive.
Okay. But is this the same? It's just the same junk? Or is it cool?
It's cool.
I saw a lot of good grams.
Their coffee's really good.
Yeah?
Really good.
How much was their coffee?
I don't know. I refuse to do the math. I didn't do the math.
Okay. That's probably, you know, sometimes it's for the best.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you're there.
Not drink coffee?
Right?
What? Yeah.
I mean, you can't, like, not have lunch.
That's true.
I mean, we didn't, like, do anything stupid.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite thing? Like, would you go back to Copenhagen?
Oh, yeah.
What was your favorite thing about it? Like, was it food, the shopping, the scenery?
I don't shop. Well, I mean, do you go places to shop? I've always found this. Oh,
Mike.
This
Mike,
is Let's
Mike.
Make Mistakes, by the way.
Hi.
This is Mike.
This is Jesse.
I've never understood the whole going somewhere to shop thing. Like, explain it.
Well, I mean, I don't like travel to other places to shop, but I shop when I'm in another place. I don't know. I like accumulating things and
like shopping's not an activity for me.
Okay, shopping's an activity for me.
Yeah, and I'm trying to understand it, not judge it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily buy a lot of things, but there is something kind of for me. I like going alone to like even the Westfield Center, like going alone to a mall or a store and just kind of wandering around and looking at things that you've never seen before and thinking, that's really like 80% of what my shopping is just like wandering aimlessly to look at things that I've never seen before.
Okay. So I just mapped it to something that I understand.
Okay.
Going to the record store.
Yeah. There you go.
So
that's a form of shopping, you know.
It is. It absolutely is. You got me.
Yeah.
But usually, like, when I think of, like, going out to get something, mm-hmm. it's like, God damn it, I need to go get, like new headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
So you run in the store, you get new headphones, and, like,
yeah,
done.
Like, the Apple store is, like, you don't go to the Apple store to just, like, lose yourself. Like, that's a battle zone.
So I will go to the record store as an activity with no idea what I'm going to do there.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, at the end of it, you usually, like, come away with, like, maybe a couple things, or sometimes you don't buy anything.
Sure. So that's shopping.
Yeah. That's shopping.
Okay.
You know, it's very similar to also just, like, being on the internet and clicking around and just, like, I don't know. It's kind of like a passive activity where I can both, like, feel like I'm kind of doing something, but also just have time to, like, I don't know, think about the real questions in life, Mike.
What are the real questions in life, Jesse?
I don't know.
Because I was hoping this was the show where we answered them.
Yeah. I don't know what the real questions in life are. Although I've been just like thinking a lot this month. I actually, in addition to taking the month off of podcasting, I have not, I've also taken the month off of working. I've been doing nothing. I've been a hermit.
So you're not working?
Not working.
What did you do?
What did I do? Well, I haven't even announced this on Twitter yet.
All right. So you're announcing it here.
I'm announcing it here.
So we're breaking news. We're breaking news.
We are breaking news on here on Let's Make Mistakes.
We've broken everything else.
Featuring Mike Montero and Jesse Char. I left my company.
What?
What?
I'm acting surprised, but I knew this.
I know you did.
Okay.
I left my company.
Didn't you start that company?
I did. I co-founded it with Brad and Louie. Ended up leaving. The details around it can be as simple or as sordid as one may try and make them.
Do you want to talk about the details?
I can talk about why I decided that I wanted to go off and explore new things.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of for a while, and honestly, it may have been apparent to people who listen to this podcast. there are a certain set of challenges that one comes into running a design firm, as you especially know.
Ain't no picnic.
There are a lot of things about it that are very fulfilling and very fortunate. Being your own boss, running your own shop is awesome.
There are times when it absolutely is.
Mm-hmm. And there are times when it's not.
There are times when it's not.
Yeah. But that's not why I left. Because every job has things that are not fun about it.
This is true.
I didn't want it to be a grass is always greener on the other side situation. But really my reason was that, running a design studio and growing a design studio, two totally different things mm-hmm. that sometimes have to go hand in hand. And I felt like I personally really, really wanted to be able to kind of like spread my wings and work on bigger things and work on longer projects. But the thing is that to do that, we would have had to grow our company bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that just didn't seem like something I wanted to do. I think that you probably get some of this too with like Mule, like there's just doing your job. And then, if Mule were four times bigger, your job would probably be not just four times bigger, but like exponentially more.
And I don't think I would be doing any of the things that I enjoy doing at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that I like it small.
Yep.
And I mean, one of those is because I get to keep doing what I like doing, which is, interacting with clients and mm-hmm. working with other designers and being like hands-on on stuff. And, I even get to design sometimes,
mm-hmm.
which I would honestly miss doing.
Yeah.
And if the company were to grow and if the company were to grow too much bigger, I would get to do a lot less of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you move into like management.
Yeah.
Which I think it's not just that I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm particularly good at it.
Yeah.
So, and I also, I don't want to, I'm fine at this. And there are specific types of projects that we really like and, types of things that we enjoy supporting and helping to, to make real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a finite number of those.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grow, you end up being a lot less choosy about what you can take on
mm-hmm.
because you got to feed the beast.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got a responsibility to all of the people that you bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this project that was, that with 10 people, I can say, no, that doesn't really interest me.
Yeah.
With 30 people, I got to take it
mm-hmm.
because I got to make payroll.
Yeah.
And that's not something I want hanging over my head.
Yeah. It's been really interesting, actually. And this is, I would hope, something that people who listen to our show may have things to take away from, because I have just been going through interview processes at companies, which has been crazy. I haven't done it in a really long time. I think that the last job interview I had was for you at Mule.
I remember that. You did very well, by the way.
Thank you.
If I remember correctly, I hired you.
Yes, that did happen.
By the way, I want to say one before we continue, I want to say one another thing about the size of companies.
Oh, yeah.
This, you know, when I talk about like this being the right size company for me, I want to make it very explicit that this is for me.
Oh, yeah. It varies for everybody.
Yeah. Like I know that there are people out there who can run companies of like 40, 50, 60 people.
Yeah. And Pacific Helm, I think with the people that we had and the projects that we had, 5 was like a great number. Like, I think that if we had anybody else, like it would have been a little crunchy in some areas. I don't know. I really think that the ideal size of a company is so personal.
It's very personal. We've actually been too big.
Yeah.
We got, for a little while there, we were too big for a size I felt comfortable dealing with myself.
Yeah.
And you know, shouldn't just say myself, I have a partner, Erica Hall. And I realized that was not, I couldn't do it. I couldn't run a company that big. So
I think that like with that company size thing, I've also talked with people where it's like, they didn't feel like they were the right configuration until they hit like 60 people, which is crazy to me because like that is way too scary to take on. And oh, what I was going to say was in all of these interviews that I've had, it's been really hard for me to kind of talk about my experience running a company because I don't think that people understand how hard it is. And so a lot of people that I've talked to have been very dismissive of my experience running a small company. Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, like, why did you leave? And I kind of explain, you know, that I'm looking to grow personally and professionally without growing a company. And they just kind of like nod their heads and they're like, okay.
See, here's the thing. Not many people have actually run companies. And
I think a lot of people think they know what it's like to run a
company. A lot of people think they know what it's like to run a company, but a VC-driven company, a company that gets like $1 million at a time.
So different.
And okay, we have $1 million. We need to make it last X amount of time before we get another million or another 2 million or whatever. That's very, very different from, and I'm not saying that's easy. I'm saying that's different from a company that, you know, is built to be self-sustainable and needs to be bringing in income at a constant pace.
Yeah.
And making sure to meet, you know, payroll every 2 weeks or every, you know, whenever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, that may be one of the hard barriers to explain. Because you don't, on one hand, like you don't want to insult people who have VC funding by saying like, oh, well, what you do is easier and what I do is harder.
Because it's never
different
done it.
Types of, well, yeah. And I've never done it. And so there's that. And then, you know, there are different types of kind of work.
I'm sure it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just different from what I know.
Yeah. And I think that once you get the VC funding, I think that at that point, that's when it becomes a little bit less hard. I know that you have to please your investors, but there's a kind of risk factor and there's a risk factor that you don't have, which is that like, yes, when you have VC funding, you know, you are trying to do well by your investors and make sure that you don't fail as a company. But if you don't, or I mean, if you do fail, then you fail. Whereas, I don't know, at an agency, if you fail, then you can't pay your employees. And if you can't pay your employees, then they can't pay rent or support their children. Like, it just feels a lot more heavy.
Well, I know one thing, no matter how you make your money, it's probably a bad idea to spend 50% of it on Smeg refrigerators in different colors.
Yeah. I mean, as delightful as that is.
Delightful.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just been interesting kind of trying to...
If you have a barista budget, you have a problem.
I know. Yeah. Or maybe you don't have a problem. You don't have any problems.
You will.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been very interesting because I mean, you know, sometimes when you talk to somebody, you can just tell that they don't care about what you're saying or that they don't relate to it at all. And so that's just been an interesting thing. Not that all of the people who have interviewed me have been bad. I've had wonderful conversations with a good handful of people from all over the place, but they definitely, don't get it. And I've had a very hard time kind of explaining both the hardships, without it sounding like it was too hard for me and that's why I left, or, you know, without insulting whoever it is that I'm talking to and really trying to convince them. Cause I think that when I try too hard, like, you know, I don't want to try too hard to make it seem hard.
How long were you at Pacific Helm?
2.5 years.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time for me.
Well, I mean, for you know, somebody who's, you kept a company going for 2.5 years.
Yeah. I mean, with other people, but yeah, like operationally speaking, I think you know, did a lot of that. When people ask like, oh, well, what did that entail? That's another hard thing to explain because it's like, what doesn't it entail? It's very multidisciplinary.
Right.
And I think that that's another thing where people are just like, yeah, like, what did you do? You ordered a water bottle and did biz dev, whatever. That's not hard.
Right.
So,
biz dev's not hard. I love that. Oh my God, biz dev's not hard.
Yeah, it's just been interesting. Some people that I've talked to are like very impressed with my experience. Some people are like, you're really junior. And it's like, really? You think I'm junior?
I can assure anybody listening to this podcast right now that Jesse Char is not junior level anything.
I know.
As far as like understanding client services and mm-hmm. the design business and what it takes to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
She knows her shit.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that a couple of podcast episodes ago, we were answering somebody's question about interview questions. And, you know, we're talking about like turning the questions around. And if people are asking you the wrong ones, then answer what you want to answer. So just like being kind of fresh off of that, interviewing can be very difficult, and I even feel like it's something that I am pretty good at, but it's hard, man. When was the last time you interviewed for something?
I was just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in business for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say at least 14.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
14 years since I was in a job interview. However, I mean, you could say that I'm in a job interview anytime that I'm trying to take on a client.
Yeah, I think that's why it didn't feel so foreign to me, but there are a lot of, I guess when...
So yeah, I mean, I'm trying to convince people to hire me all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and so there is that, but then sometimes they'll ask you something that's like more personal, not like a personal question, but like, it's really just talking about you, Mike. And so where I'm so used to saying ours and we and at Pacific Helm, like I always have like this kind of third thing to talk about and it's not myself.
That's a good way to describe Louie, by the way. A third thing to talk about.
Yeah. And quite often or sometimes in interviews, I would catch myself saying out like the way we worked, which I think is fine. I have a very teamwork mentality.
Sure, you do.
But yeah, and so I am not going to talk about where I have landed, but I can say that out of all of the interviews I had, the people that I felt greatest about were people who, it wasn't like, how do you do things? Like we really just had, like I had a series of conversations with people about what they're doing and that kind of led to the way that I would help them out. And so I would say my advice to anybody going through this process is that if the people you're interviewing are asking you questions that are hard for you to answer, then it may not be a good fit. I don't know. Like, and maybe, I don't know, I may be speaking with like the luxury of being able to talk to many different people about many different positions. But
so, yeah, on that,
mm-hmm.
like at was it hard to get interviews places?
Some places, yes. Some places, no. The people that I will be working with reached out to me without even knowing that I had left my company. So that was kind of...
Oh, so they were trying to poach you.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But that's I got a job at Mule, is that you guys just contacted me out of the blue.
Yeah, to be fair, you were working for Will Shipley, so...
No, I hadn't been working for Will at the time.
Oh, that's right.
I was working for that weird company down the street.
Now, he doesn't listen to this, does he?
No, but he's fine. Will's great. He doesn't know it. Will's like my uncle. It's fine. What's actually funny about this is that, so when you had approached me about working at Mule, I had maybe like 2 days before been like cruising around your jobs website. And I think that you had a role for information architect available. And I was like, well, maybe I could fit that because you didn't have the client relations role up yet. So I hadn't applied. I was thinking about it and I had drafted an email to write to you and Erica. And then you guys contacted me before I could send anything. So
you wanted to work here even before.
Yeah.
So I never knew that.
Oh, well. More breaking news.
Well, that touches my heart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was perfect. And so it was natural. And when I met with the whole team, it really did feel like just like a big conversation that all of us were having. And it didn't feel scary or weird. The questions that you asked me were totally practical. And I felt like conversationally, we were already on the same wavelength, which was really nice. So that was kind of the same story with this. I had actually bookmarked the job posting, and a week later, the hiring manager wrote me a message and was just like, hey, what are you up to these days? So
let's cut to the question that our listeners want to hear. And by our listeners, I mean Jared Spool. I don't know why we don't just call him and have a phone conversation every week. He's the only person that listens to this show, I think.
No, somebody tweeted about us like today.
Really?
Yeah. And we actually got a bunch of emails during our hiatus, but I like archived all of them because I was trying to keep a clean inbox.
Nice. I like mentioning Jared because I know he giggles when he hears his name.
That's good. What does Jared want to know?
Are you going to keep doing this podcast?
I believe so. Okay. I have asked.
There you go.
I've asked. The only reason that I'm not talking about who I will be working with is because I don't start yet and I don't want to jinx it.
No, so I'm like, not gonna, yeah, let's talk. We can talk about that next week.
We can talk about it next week.
Where you'll be here next week.
Yeah, but I told them, I was like, I've got a podcast. It's like, you know, I've got a child. Is that okay with you? Like, yeah.
That's a good That's a perfect comparison.
Yeah. Yes, I will still be doing this podcast for as long as I'm allowed.
All right.
So at least through the end of the year.
Oh, wow. So let's touch on that.
What?
As long as I'm allowed. Because here's something that's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just went from being your own boss.
To not.
Where you could, I mean... You could make your own decisions,
mm-hmm.
and you could leave work whenever you wanted, come in whenever you wanted. And let's be fair, generally that means working longer hours than anyone.
Yeah.
But
but spread out over whenever you feel like it.
Right. But you were the final call.
I know.
And now you're not going to be that anymore.
I know.
How's that going to feel? You might not even know it yet.
I don't even know, but I'm afraid of how it's going to feel. Have you thought
about that?
I've thought about it a lot, and I don't even... I think that it's been long enough. And also, where I will probably be going is a larger-sized company. My last companies have been 5 people and, like, 10 people and then 4 people and 4 people. So I've worked at teeny, 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 tiny miniature companies for the last 6 years. So going
teeny back, but powerful.
Teeny but powerful. Exactly. But I mean, there's a certain dynamic that happens and like a certain amount of freedom that might not exist within a larger structured place. I have no idea how it's going to feel. I think that the worst is probably going to be all of my 3-day weekends that I used to take. because that's easy. It's like, I'm just not going to be here on Friday. Now I can't do that. I can't just not be there on Friday.
And if something's going wrong, like if you don't want to work on something anymore, mm-hmm. like you can't like just, you know, walk up to the client and say, hey, let's deal with this.
Now, based on what I have, that's actually been something that I've talked to a lot about the people who have been interviewing me is like, what is the decision-making process? What is the emergency procedure for things? You know, what is the leadership structure like? Actually, like, I could probably have an entire episode about good questions to ask at a company during your interview.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Yeah. So maybe that can be our next week because that's just going to take way too long. What was it? Oh, yes. But hopefully, based on what these people have talked to me about, I should have a fair amount of flexibility in the direction of the project.
They always say that,
but these people, what's pretty impressive to me is the people who are going to be on my team have been there for a really long time.
You know what's amazing to me?
What?
Like, as someone who hires people, mm-hmm. without fail, mm-hmm. whoever you've offered a job to mm-hmm. had a vacation planned somewhere within the next month.
Oh, yeah, I have 100 vacations.
Right?
I told them about that very upfront. Like, hey.
But no, without fail, yeah. Like the minute you offer somebody a job, I just need to let you know that I was going to go to Hawaii next month.
Yeah.
It's like they freak out and realize, oh shit, I need to get a vacation in now.
Yeah, because then it's going to be like 6 months until right. you feel comfortable asking for any time off. I have a hilarious amount of time off in the next 6 weeks that I need to take because of trips that are already planned. So I'll get my last kicks out.
That's how you know that people are leaving your company.
Oh, if they plan a big trip?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dentist visits.
Oh, because they're interviewing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not just because they're interviewing, but...
Time to get healthy.
Right. Like, I'm going to use that dental allowance up.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going freelance, maybe they're, mm-hmm. you know, maybe the place... But I can always tell, like, the minute somebody starts scheduling dentist visits, like, every week, like, all right, it's time to have a talk.
Yeah. That's a hilarious tell.
Post the job.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's very Sherlock of you.
Thank you. I've been at this a while.
Yeah. I remember I had a college roommate where every time she was about to confront me about something, she would IM me just the word, so.
There it goes.
So. And then just start typing for like a really, really long time. That was the worst. I hated that so much.
Oh man, I read an article this weekend mm-hmm. on that the ellipsis that happens. I hope I get this right. We should post a link to it. It was either the New Yorker or New York mm-hmm. magazine. The anxiety that comes with that ellipsis in iMessage, mm-hmm. like when you know that somebody's typing. Mm-hmm. And they start taking too long, or the ellipsis comes on and then it disappears.
Goes away and it doesn't come back. No.
What were they gonna say?
Yeah. I mean, you probably haven't had to experience this, but like as a single person, like when you're dating or like flirting with somebody, like that is excruciating. It's terrible.
So there's apparently a way to turn that off.
Oh, I'm not turning it off. I'm addicted to it. I need to know.
It's a tell, right?
Yeah. That's like, I mean, like, that's like, you know how there's like verbal and nonverbal communication? Like,
right.
That's like another, it's just its own category is the typing ellipsis.
So is there a name for that? The chat bubble with the ellipsis in it? Have we come up with a cute short name for it yet?
I don't know. I would be surprised if nobody has.
If they haven't, then maybe our listeners could name it.
Yeah, we would like. Should we like hashtag it or something so that people can start a Twitter?
Yeah, sure.
Trend?
Whatever the kids do.
Yeah. I don't know what the hashtag should be called.
I don't either.
All right. Well, somebody figure out the hashtag and what the ellipsis bubble is called.
We are terrible at social media.
We're great at social media. I just don't have any original names right now.
We are very good at social media, and we're incredibly antisocial.
Well, sometimes I'm incredibly antisocial. Sometimes I am very social. You're antisocial.
True.
Although you have a lot of friends for being an antisocial person. How does that work? Internet?
Internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember what track we were on now.
I have, like every episode, I've totally forgotten what we were talking about.
Yeah. Hmm.
Which I guess means we're back.
Yeah.
From our vacation.
We are back from our vacation.
So yeah, I was in Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to Malmo, Sweden.
Whoa, that sounds like an IKEA chair.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And then went to Chicago.
How was Chicago?
It rained. It was great. By the way, if you are in Chicago, go to the Handlebar.
What's the Handlebar?
Or just Handlebar.
What's Handlebar?
It's a restaurant.
Okay. What kind of restaurant?
It's fantastic.
Where is it?
I don't know. I was in the hotel. I got in a cab. I said Handlebar.
Mm-hmm. And then you were Handlebar.
And then I was at Handlebar like 10 minutes later. There was a highway.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Handlebar.
They had a patio out back.
Nice.
And got fried pickles to start.
What kind of pickles?
I don't know.
Like a dill pickle, a pickle chip, like a spear?
No. Like a spear.
Okay. And I like fried pickles.
They were good.
Yeah.
And I got something called a Bloody Hammer to drink.
What is that?
Well, it's a Bloody Mary with a fried pickle.
Oh, not with a hammer in it?
No, there was a pickle in it. And then shrimp and grits.
Not in the Bloody Hammer, but no, shrimp and grits from that.
It's a totally separate dish.
Mm, shrimp and grits. I love grits.
Well, try shrimp and grits because holy shit.
Yeah?
It's good.
Good to know.
Totally.
All right. Handlebar.
Handlebar in Chicago. Man, I probably just ruined it.
You probably just did. Well, I don't know. I mean, how many listeners could we possibly have in Chicago?
5?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
We'll just tell them not to go there. Like before one of us takes another trip to Chicago, we'll just be like, Handlebar's over.
Oh, it's so over.
Gross. Why would anybody go there?
God, I can't believe you're going there.
Yeah. Do you have any more travel coming up?
I'm going to Charlotte next week.
Ooh.
Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't think I've ever been in North Carolina.
Isn't that where Jimmy's from?
I think so.
Should ask him about it.
I should.
Yeah. Where are you? Is this for work?
He could probably tell me where I could buy a hat.
Yeah.
Which isn't what I want to know.
Or some meat. I think he knows a lot about meat.
He does know a lot about meat, like in a scary way.
Mm-hmm. Is this for work or
I'm going
for
to
fun?
A conference.
What kind of conference?
It's called Blend Conference.
What kind of conference is that?
It's, I don't know, like a web people.
About blending?
Yeah, blending. Web people blending things, blending in, blending stuff,
mm-hmm.
blending drinks.
Blend mode. Hmm. All right.
But they're nice people. They invited me over there.
Are you speaking?
I am speaking.
Ooh. What are you, which talk are you given?
I'm giving the How Designers Destroy the World talk.
Ah.
I'm not done my new talk yet. My mm-hmm. new talk, I mean, it's starting to sound a little bit like Zoolander. Do you remember Zoolander?
Yes, I remember
Zoolander.
When
he was trying to come up with his new look.
Oh, yeah. Blue Steel or was Blue Steel his standard look?
Magnum, okay. I think, was the new look.
Yeah.
So I think I should stop talking about this thing until I've got it done.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm working on Magnum right now.
All right. Did you just call your talk Magnum?
Magnum.
That'd be good. That's fun. So North Carolina for Blue Steel.
And then Austin a couple of weeks after that.
What's in Austin?
The Project Manager Summit.
There's a project manager summit in Austin.
Yeah, and they invited me to it, which was really nice.
To speak or to attend?
To speak.
Fun. You're just you and Erica, this is just a good year for you guys.
Well, you know, we like to talk. Oh, and at some point very soon, my book's going to be coming out.
When does it drop?
I can't say yet.
Sorry.
They have rules.
But at some point in the future, your book is going to drop.
I'll say this.
Okay.
You should know where your credit card is.
I would hope that everybody always knows where their credit card is.
Make sure it's not expired.
Yep.
Have it where you can get to quickly.
That's just good life advice.
It is good life advice. No. Always know where your credit card is.
Yeah, or like, you know, keep it in that Safari credit card autofill thing. It's very handy.
It's like dancing advice.
Yeah.
Always know where your ass is.
Is that dancing advice?
That's great dancing advice.
Wait, I'm not a big dancer. What? I don't understand.
Always know where your ass is.
Like, always know where it is. Why?
I don't know. Somebody told me that once, and it sounded like I could repeat it.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounded authoritative, right?
It sounds real. Right?
That's all that matters.
Yeah, no. As an infrequent dancer, I just don't know. You know, I'd have to try that out.
I never danced a day in my life.
I was just at a wedding. There was dancing, but you know.
I've been in weddings. The place to be is in the back.
This was a Jewish wedding, Mike.
Ah.
There is no back. It's just all dancing in a circle. This is the greatest thing I've ever been to. I want to just go to a Jewish wedding every day.
Jewish weddings are fun.
They're very fun. There's a lot of food and a lot of fun, funny people. A lot of laughing. It's great. They broke a glass, lifted people up on chairs.
Yeah, I've been to a couple. There's a lot of hooting and hollering. And
yeah, but like yeah. Good hooting and hollering. It's not like Catholic stuff where it's just like a lot of waiting.
Catholic people can't do anything.
No, they're not fun.
They don't do anything right.
The only fun Catholic people are like the ones that are a little crazy because Catholicism is too strict.
If you get a Catholic girl in art school, that's worth, you know, a little yourself.
Yeah.
Holy shit, can we please edit that out? I just, Seven, just please like bleep that or something. I don't know why the hell I said that.
It's okay. Shoot, sometimes on Let's Make Mistakes, we talk about current issues. Are there any current issues we should talk about?
Jesus Christ. So it's a good week for iCloud.
Well, that apparently I read something today where it's just like iCloud, that may have been a premature blame on iCloud.
Oh.
Yeah, because something with like people instantly blamed iCloud because all of the pictures were on iPhones, and so they're like, oh, they must have hacked iCloud to get them. But then there is like some sort of, I don't really know. I have not followed the naked picture gate very closely.
I couldn't find any.
Oh, I can help you find them.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you like the naked pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meg, it's the internet. Come on.
I'm a suck at the internet.
So
you know, here's... You know, I could probably get my kid to find them for me.
Oh, I'm sure he already found them. Just yeah. Check his Safari history.
Oh, good one.
Well, he's probably smart. He probably private browses, right?
Mm.
Maybe not for that. It seems like a common enough thing. Okay, so I have a question about this. It's a moral dilemma, which is that a bunch of people are like, if you look at those pictures, you're perpetuating Jennifer Lawrence's sexual abuse. And on one hand, there's like my feminism side where it's like, okay, like, I see that. I see where you're coming from. Like, if it were a normal person, if it were one of Henry's friends, or if it were one of my friends, or one of your friends, you know, who had that happen to them, and then everybody was like reposting it or whatever. That's one thing. But then, you know, there's this big news item that everybody is talking about, and they're like, naked pictures of everybody. but I have no context, and I want to see what actually happened and what actually got leaked out into the world so that I know, you know, what's going on.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Well, first of all, did you say sexual abuse?
What did you say? Sexual abuse. And that's the word that I've been seeing a lot of people who I honestly agree with how they word it. And I just, I don't know, like, I absolutely understand that. But I feel, for whatever reason, like, the context in which I looked these pictures up and clicked on them because I was super curious.
So you did look?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you feel bad when you saw them?
No, I didn't feel bad.
Did you feel bad when you went looking for them?
No. But I think that that's... I didn't feel bad.
Did you feel like you were looking at them for better reasons than other people were looking at them?
I guess what the argument against me is, like, it doesn't matter why I was looking at them. And honestly, like, I really only looked at them to feed my curiosity, which is like, and I don't feel bad, and it's like, should I feel bad?
I don't know what you gain by feeling bad.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen them, and mm-hmm. I really haven't looked for them. But it's terrible that this happened to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got irritated when, you know, there was that whole, well, if you don't want them out there, then don't take them.
Oh, like, yeah, that's just stupid.
I mean, you can... And then I also cringe a little bit when I hear people describe it as sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
because to me, there seems to be a world of difference
mm-hmm.
between, like, your naked photo leaking and, like, actually being, like, physically abused.
Yeah.
And not having neither of those things happen to me ever,
mm-hmm.
I'm totally unqualified to talk about how either feels.
Yeah.
By the way, you should all be very glad that naked photos of me haven't appeared on the internet, by the way.
Well, not that anybody's found yet, but...
I think the person who would find them would have the good judgment not to show them to anyone. What was the question again? Should you feel bad?
Well, or I guess, like... Should I feel bad? Because I'm not going to feel bad. But am I desensitized in a way that I shouldn't be? You know, like, I guess where is the line for that, socially speaking? Like, I've only really heard opinions from people who have such extreme difference in this, which is the one side that is like, this is sexual abuse, don't click on it, don't perpetuate it. And then the other side who's like, they had it coming to them because they are sluts.
Well,
and
no.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's obviously no.
Obviously no. And I feel like I'm obviously in, you know, the camp that sides with these celebrities who have had their privacy violated. But then on the other hand, am I a person who violated them? Did I feed into it?
So here's the thing that bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
The whole celebrity angle.
Mm-hmm.
This could happen to anybody.
Yes, and it happens to people all the time.
It does. It happens to people all the time. But there's been like this whole angle of, oh my God, who's going to protect our celebrities?
Mm-hmm.
Which I find kind of weird.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, oh, now that it happened to Jennifer Lawrence, people are making a big deal out of it.
I love Jennifer Lawrence, by the way.
Oh, everybody does. That's why people are freaking out so much, is because I think that this is a person who nobody wanted this to happen to, because she is a fairly private person. She's very likable.
There's enough people out there who will let you see them naked.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't feel like I need to go after the people, that I need to go looking for the people who don't want me to see them naked.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fine with, you know, the available pool of nudity out there.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, I would even say that maybe the problem is not me clicking on the picture of Jennifer Lawrence naked, which is just like, look, it was in front of my screen. I had to see it. Come on. But all of the, I guess the conversation around it is what's making it such a big deal. It just seems like all of the news coverage that it's gotten is what is driving. What I'm trying to figure out still is like, where did the bad thing happen?
And the bad thing happened when people hacked into their accounts.
Yeah, and then,
that's where the bad thing
happened.
And then
when did the bad thing, like, when does the bad thing start? And I don't think that me, like, I don't know. I don't think that me clicking on the picture of Jennifer Lawrence is hurting. Like, I think that the damage has been done. And I don't know if that's the wrong attitude to have. That's just how I feel. And it might just be because I am justifying my own voyeuristic actions.
I mean, that could be.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, I mean, I think you're being honest with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at something that you have no right to look at,
mm-hmm.
who something that wasn't made with the intention of you looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And through a crime,
mm-hmm.
it's now available to you.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
like that seems like a pretty shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm not ready to say you should go to jail for that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and what, I don't know, it's just that what fed my curiosity was all this damn news coverage about it. Like,
well, that's just it. The mainstream media is the problem here, Jesse.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. And I don't know if...
Oh my God, it's terrible that this happened. This, over yeah, here. This, have thing. You seen
By
this
the way,
terrible
don't click
thing?
On the picture. You shouldn't click on this picture of Not Jennifer the, Lawrence.
Look, sensor look bar, yeah. sensor bar.
Like, that's why I clicked on it.
Like, holy shit, well, now I gotta look at this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you build up, like, all of this momentum that it's... You need release.
Yeah. And
Anyway, you know. I feel bad for the people that happened to.
Oh, I feel terrible. And another thing is, I mean, I was talking with my mom about this today. And one of the things that's even shittier about what's happening now is that because journalists, I say that I'm journalists with air quotes, don't understand technology, there's also a lot of terrible reporting going on about what happened. And now it's created this frenzy of fear about cloud.
It's raining pussy from the cloud.
Yeah, the cloud is raining pussy. can that be our title?
The cloud is raining pussy.
Yeah. Like, nothing is safe.
Yeah, that's our title.
Don't take pictures anymore because Big Brother's watching you. The hacker, one reporter, like on CNN or something, thought that it was a hacker who goes by the name of 4chan. It's just like, there's so much.
That guy tagged my wall.
There's just so much misunderstanding about, I guess, how they were hacked and why they were like.
It is fascinating to me as somebody who, you know, works on the internet and then, you know, makes like websites and things for mm-hmm. people. And you start believing that, you know, people know all of this stuff and people understand all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you do all of this user testing and user research. And you want to believe that, like, as like interface designers, like, we can take all of these shortcuts because the web is so intuitive.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need a home tab anymore. We don't even need exposed navigation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then this user testing happens, which is like hearing people explain, you know, how the internet works on the local news.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sit there thinking, we're so fucked.
It's so, yeah, like, and it's always when things go wrong and people get scared. I feel like what happens is that, like, people have all these hunches about like what's possible with technology. And then when something bad happens, they're like, it must be that it must be a hacker who hacked into the cloud. And they kind of explain it like in like that simply, where it's just like, oh, you just hack into somebody's phone. It's like, do you know how you just hack into somebody's phone?
You just hack in.
Yeah. And it's like,
there's a tool you can buy. So, there's a hack tool.
Yeah. So it's really hard.
It's a hacksaw.
And I don't mean to lampoon my mom in this, because she has a pretty, like,
I love your mom.
My mom really, really likes you, by the way. Aww. She always talks about how sweet you are, even though if she really knew you, she wouldn't be saying that.
God, what a fucking horrible thing to say.
I'm just kidding. She listens to the show, by the way. But, you know, she's a person where it's like,
Mrs. Char, I can only imagine how difficult she was to raise.
You're such a suck up.
I commend you.
It's just,
I'm picturing her in high school.
Yeah.
Just raising all sorts of hell. Let's talk like parent to parent.
I just want to be like, on one hand, my mom is like, well, now people will hack into my phone. And it's like, okay, people can't hack into your phone. I know they hacked into Jennifer Lawrence's phone, but they're not going to hack into your phone. Like, there are just a lot of different levels angles to this.
The closest thing to hacking I've ever seen is somebody drunkenly trying to figure out the passcode on the phone so they could write poopin.
Yeah.
When someone goes to the bathroom.
Every day hacking.
Every day I'd be hacking.
Yeah. But like hacking, it's really hard. It's really hard. It's very complicated. First, you got to just know Jennifer Lawrence's phone number probably, or her Apple ID. That's the first step. How do you figure that out? I don't even know.
It's jlaw@mac.com.
@mac.com. @icloud.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. A lot of levels. Could go on, but
we probably shouldn't.
Yeah, save it for another time.
You know what we're gonna get hate mail about?
What?
They talked about this, but they didn't talk about Ferguson.
Well, this happened this week, and it's about the internet, and we have a design podcast that's on the internet, and Ferguson, obviously, much more important. But also, like, I don't have that much time. Our hearts go out.
Our hearts do. This has been Let's Make Mistakes.
My fucking I'm thinking about asshole Ferguson.
Dog.
Now I feel bad that we didn't talk about Ferguson.
See? You're my fucking asshole dog barking.
Yeah. You love him.
This is Let's Make Mistakes.
This is Jesse.
And this is Mike. And if you want to support us, and I hope you do, tugboatyards.com/mistakes. You can be a $5 fan.
For only $5.
Only $5.
We should have a sale on $5 fans, like for Christmas.
For $4.99.
Mm-hmm.
$4.99 fans.
Yeah. No, we can, but we still have $5 fans. But okay. It like costs $4.50 or something.
All right, we'll do a sale. But see, but now people are going to wait until the sale's on. You're horrible at marketing.
Oh, no. We can just edit that out.
No, see, what we got to do is we got to tell people that $5 fans are going up to $6 next month.
Oh, they are.
So you're going to want to get in under the wire at the $5 mark because we don't have that many of those left.
Yeah.
We got to treat it like actual
0%
items.
0% APR.
There's, you know, the $5 fans are flying off the shelves. We don't have too many left. So if you want to secure one at that price, you better get in quick.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's good. It's been good. Nice to see you again, Mike.
All right. We're here again next week?
Yes.
Okay, great.